The nation of the Imiqua Nipissing Allies has launched legal action for Indigenous recognition in Ontario Superior Court and with Buckingham Palace. In a news release, the group unveil its territorial heritage that stretches from Lake Nipigon across to the East Coast, and further down into the southeastern United States. Historical alliances with the Mi'kmaq, Wabanaki, and Abenaki extend through regions including New England, New York, and Pennsylvania, showcasing a vast network of connections with the Cheyenne and Delaware. Furthermore, the Northern Nipissing groups established trade routes reaching all the way to James Bay, indicating a territory that stretched as far as the wampum was traded, says the release. The Imiqua Nipissing allies have named King Charles, as they seek justice for a genocidal past aimed to erase their vibrant historical presence. It sent the king a letter, see below story, following the filing of a statement of claim in the Ontario Superior Court. The letter claims that the royal family bears direct responsibility for a horrific act of genocide against their people. This small historical perspective reveals that the King of Great Britain and Ireland and the Pope of the Vatican City State are the architects of stolen lands and resources of genocidal, apartheid policies which were intended to eliminate the original inhabitants and titleholders of the territory in order to benefit the architects, reads the letter. As a first step towards recognition and reparations, we respectfully request an urgent meeting to develop an agenda towards the accomplishment of nation-to-nation relationship. What the group calls substantial historical evidence highlights an agenda by Britain and its colonists to erase the Imiqua, thereby extinguishing their once flourishing nation, known as one of the largest among the Anishinaabeg and a preserved patriarch within the Nipissing groups. Mounting evidence reveals that the Imiqua held sway over a vast territory now known as Ontario and Quebec, says the release. They were branded as enemies of Britain due to their long-standing trading relationships with France, leading the Crown and its colonial governments to write them out of history through legal and historical exclusions. This move stripped them of their rightful Indigenous standing and sovereignty. The statement of claim was filed earlier this month. Legal counsel Michael Swinwood told Beta Day that individual private homeowners in the area will not be affected by the claim. None, we wouldn't be looking for people's homes or business. There's a tremendous amount of Crown land within the claimed territory that infringes on the Algonquins of Ontario land. However, a 2021 story in Anishinaabek News titled, Court Case Deals with History and Identity, casts doubt on the historical existence of the Imiqua tribe. The story deals with a court case of 54 people charged with violating provincial hunting and fishing laws, as well as commercial fishing laws of Nipissing First Nation. They claimed that they were within their rights as members of the Imiqua First Nation. These arguments caused real concern in the communities affected, and there was some anger that the courts would even hear the case. But the two witnesses brought forward by the claimants were quickly dismissed by the judge, Justice Aaron Vanpool. An American human rights lawyer was brought in to provide historical evidence for the Imiqua First Nation claim but admitted on the stand that he had never heard of the Imiqua before being asked to give his expert testimony, casting doubt on the very existence of the Imiqua, according to the news story. Regardless, the Imiqua, now rallying as the nation of the Imiqua Nipissing allies, says it has produced evidence confirming their existence and narrating their initial contacts with European settlers in the early 1600s. Within 300 years, the British Empire almost succeeded in erasing the Imiqua from the historical archives. Today, it's known that their descendants endured. As colonial encroachment advanced, families stopped their migrational ways settling throughout the October 4, 2023 ancestral territory, weaving within the populace off-reserve while many folks on reserve share this very same connection. Records uncovered by the Nation of the Imiqua Nipissing Allies lay claim to the settlement of Imiqua families near North Bay, French River and Pembroke. This is a landmark court action that will assert the existence and territory of the Imiqua, declares Indigenous rights lawyer Michael Swinwood. It's a pivotal moment to set the record straight, acknowledging the Imiqua's existence, their property rights, and their right to live and express their unique culture and traditions. The Amikwa want a court declaration affirming their indigenous title, setting a legal precedent for other non-treaty original title holders. Here is the letter to King Charles. August 28, 2023. King Charles III. C.O. Buckingham Palace. Re. Nation of Amikwa Nipissing Allies. Elders Without Borders has been retained by the Nation of Amikwa Nipissing Allies to address you directly on the issue of stolen lands and resources within indigenous territories of the nation. On the basis of international legal norms, the principle of Jus Cogens and Comity of Nations, the Monarchy of Great Britain and Ireland, and Vatican City in Rome, are directly responsible for the international crimes of genocide, apartheid and colonial behavior which lead to the illegal dispossession of lands and resources, along with deprivations for which the monarchy and the Pope of Rome are to be held liable in compensatory damages. History has not been kind to indigenous peoples in the territory now known as Canada. In fact, history will show that there is a guiding mind behind the sad history, which lies at the fact of the monarchy of Great Britain and Ireland gave over the sovereignty of Great Britain and Ireland to the Pope of Rome, in perpetuity, binding all his heirs and successors, also in perpetuity, paying 700 silver marks for Great Britain and 300 silver marks for Ireland, annually to the Pope of Rome. This continues today as the pledge was in perpetuity. Your sovereignty is subject to the Pope of Rome. In 1348, Edward III founded the Order of the Garter, first instituted on April 23, 1344. The order's emblem is a garter circlet with the motto, Ani Swa Ki Malwai Ponce, or, Shame on Him Who Thinks Evil of It. It is now the leading Freemason organization in the world. When Prince Andrew was banned from wearing military uniform at your coronation, he resorted to the robes of the Order of the Garter. Symbolism intended. In 1540, Ignatius of Loyola founded the Society of Jesus, Jesuits, who are required to pledge allegiance to the Pope of Rome, much like the Oath of Fealty of 1215, to which you yourself are bound. The volumes of Jesuit Relations of 1650 onwards chronicle their involvement with indigenous peoples in the territory known as Canada. British colonial policies and Jesuit involvement lead directly to the horror of genocidal practices of residential schools in Canada. In 1670, the Hudson's Bay Charter granted to Prince Rupert and other knights the sole trade and commerce for the vast territory known as Canada. Despite the fact that it was fully populated by indigenous peoples, no consideration was given to their presence, nor to the indigenous original title rights. It was royal usurpation based on the British idea that the savages were not in any particular need. If they were not Christians, there was no need to take them into consideration. In 1713, the Treaty of Utrecht was concluded between Britain, France and Spain, ending the War of Spanish Succession. It was European powers appropriating to themselves territories in North and South America, despite the presence and existence of indigenous peoples. Again, the indigenous peoples were regarded as savages who were not Christians, and thus no respect need be cast their way. In 1763, we see the Treaty of Paris confirming actions taken at the Treaty of Utrecht, a dividing up of territories among European monarchs. The proclamation of 1763 also issued as a royal proclamation designed to take into account various tribes, connected to us and protected by us. This was only for the Iroquois Confederacy who had been proclaimed a suzerainty of the British by the Treaty of Utrecht of 1713. It was not intended to benefit the nation of Amikwa Nipissing allies, as they were not connected to us and protected by us. In 1850, the British Crown concluded a treaty with indigenous peoples who were mostly from the United States, having been displaced by the Indian Removal Act of the United States of 1830. The nation of Amikwa Nipissing allies were not party to the treaty, as they had been displaced by the Beaver Wars instigated by the Iroquois Confederacy, a suzerainty of Britain. D.B. Papineau had advised Lord Elgin of the existence of the original title holders were to be found at Oka, but his report was rejected by Lord Elgin, who proceeded to conclude the treaty with indigenous peoples who were not the original title holders. In 1868, the British North America Act was passed by the British Parliament, with no consultation with Indigenous peoples in the territory. Canada was created by royal proclamation in that document and continues to be imposed legislation on Indigenous peoples in the territory known as Canada. Today, Section 9 of the BNA Act reads as follows. The executive government and authority of and over Canada is hereby declared to continue and be vested in the Queen. That is now the King. The Governor General is styled as the Chief Executive Officer or Administrator for the time being, carrying on the Government of Canada on behalf of and in the name of the Queen, by whatever title he is designated. That is now the King. Section 15 states that the Command-in-Chief of the Land and Naval Militia, and of all Navy and Military Forces, of and in Canada, is hereby declared to continue and be vested in the Queen. That is now the King. This small historical perspective reveals that the King of Great Britain and Ireland and the Pope of the Vatican City State are the architects of stolen lands and resources of genocidal, apartheid policies which were intended to eliminate the original inhabitants and titleholders of the territory in order to benefit the architects. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples is a step in the right direction, but does not capture the full extent of the nation of Amequa-Nipissing allies' inalienable right to sovereignty and self-determination. As a first step towards recognition and reparations, we respectfully request an urgent meeting to develop an agenda towards the accomplishment of nation-to-nation relationship. The nation of Amequa-Nipissing allies has endured much oppression and disrespect, which can only be rectified by the course of action we are proposing. May we please have a response from you which addresses these urgent matters. Yours truly, Michael Swinwood, B.A.L.L.B. Elders Without Border.